This is Leicester Emergent Arts Radio.
Hunchback in the park, a solitary mister, propped between trees and water from the opening of the garden lock that lets the trees and water enter until the Sunday's somber bell at dark. Eating bread from a newspaper, drinking water from the chained cup that the children fill with gravel in the fountain basin where I sailed my ship. Slept at night in a dog kennel. could nobody chain him up. Like the park birds, he came early. Like the water, he sat down. And mister, they called. Hey, mister. The truant boys from the town, running when he had heard them clearly, on, out of sound, past lake and rockery, laughing when he shook his paper, hunchbacked in mockery, through the loud zoo of the willow groves, dodging the park keeper with his stick that picked up leaves. And the old dog sleeper alone between nurses and swans, while the boys among willows made the tigers jump out of their eyes to roar on the rockery stones, and the groves were blue with sailors. Made all day until bell time, a woman figure without fault, straight as a young elm, straight and tall from his crooked bones, that she might stand in the night after the locks and chains, all night in the unmade park, after the railings and shrubberies, the birds, the grass, the trees, the lake, and the wild boys, innocent as strawberries, had followed the hunchback to his kennel in the dark.
I summon to the winding ancient stair. Set all your mind upon the steep ascent, upon the broken, crumbling battlement, upon the breathless, starlit air, upon the star that marks the hidden pole. Fix every wandering thought upon that quarter where all thought is done. Who can distinguish darkness from the soul? The consecrated blade upon my knees is Sato's ancient blade, still as it was, still razor keen, still like a looking glass, unspotted by the centuries. That flowering, silken old embroidery, torn from some court lady's dress, and round the wooden scabbard bound and wound, can, tattered, still protect, faded, adorn. Why should the imagination of a man long past his prime remember things that are emblematical of love and war? Think of ancestral night that can, if but imagination, scorn the earth and intellect its wandering to this and that and t'other thing, deliver from the crime of death and birth. Montashigi, third of his family, fashioned it 500 years ago. About it lie flowers from I know not what embroidery, hearts purple, and all these I set for emblems of the day against the tower emblematical of the night, and claim, as by a soldier's right, a charter to commit the crime once more. Such fullness in that quarter overflows and falls into the basin of the mind that man is stricken deaf and dumb and blind. For intellect no longer knows is from the ought or knower from the known. That is to say, ascends to heaven. Only the dead can be forgiven. But when I think of that, my tongue's a stone. A living man is blind and drinks his drop. What matter if the ditches are impure? What matter if I live it all once more? Endure that toil of growing up, the ignominy of boyhood, the distress of boyhood changing into man, the unfinished man and his pain brought face to face with his own clumsiness. The finished man among his enemies? How in the name of heaven can he escape that defiling and disfigured shape the mirror of malicious eyes casts upon his eyes until at last he thinks that shape must be his shape? And what's the good of an escape if honor find him in the wintry blast? I am content to live it all again and yet again, if it be life to pitch into the frog spawn of a blind man's ditch, a blind man battering blind men, or into that most fecund ditch of all, the folly that man does or must suffer if he woos a proud woman not kindred of his soul. I am content to follow to its source every event in action or in thought, measure the lot, forgive myself the lot, when such as I cast out remorse, so great a sweetness flows into the breast. We must laugh and we must sing. We are blessed by everything. Everything we look upon is blessed.
How seldom, friend, a good great man inherits honor or wealth with all his worth and pains. It sounds like stories from the land of spirits, if any man obtain that which he merits, or any merit that which he obtains. For shame, dear friend, renounce this canting strain. What wouldst thou have a good great man obtain? Place, titles, salary, a gilded chain, or throne of corses which his sword hath slain? Greatness and goodness are not means, but ends. Hath he not always treasures, always friends, the good great man? Three treasures, love and light, and calm thoughts regular as an infant's breath, and three firm friends, more sure than day and night, himself, his maker, and the angel Death.
When to the sessions of sweet silent thought I summon up remembrance of things past, I sigh the lack of many a thing I sought, and with old woes new wail my dear time's waste. Then can I drown an eye unused to flow for precious friends hid in death's dateless night, and weep afresh love's long since cancelled woe, and moan the expense of many a vanished sight. Then can I grieve at grievances foregone, and heavily from woe to woe tell o'er the sad account of four bemoaned moan, which I knew pay as if not paid before. But if the while I think on thee, dear friend, all losses are restored and sorrows end.
Announced by all the trumpets of the sky arrives the snow, and driving o'er the fields seems nowhere to alight. The whited air hides hills and woods, the river and the heaven, and veils the farmhouse at the garden's end. The sled and traveler stopped, the courier's feet delayed, all friends shut out, the housemates sit around the radiant fireplace, enclosed in a tumultuous privacy of storm. Come see the north wind's masonry. Out of an unseen quarry evermore furnished with tile, the fierce artificer curves his white bastions with projected roof round every windward stake or tree or door, speeding the myriad-handed, his wild work so fanciful, so savage, not cares he for number or proportion. Mockingly on coop or kennel he hangs parian wreaths. A swan-like form invests the hidden thorn, fills up the farmer's lane from wall to wall. Maugre the farmer's sighs, and at the gate a tapering turret overtops the work. And when his hours are numbered and the world is all his own, retiring as he were not, leaves when the sun appears, astonished art to mimic in slow structures, stone by stone, built in an age, the mad wind's night work, the frolic architecture of the snow.
Thank you. This is Leicester Emergent Arts Radio.